You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
Gentlemen, start your engine!
Triangle Tire. Tires for Life presents Dave's Corner Garage. The following is a paid program. Opinions on the show are those of Dave and his valued guests and are always expressed with a certain joie de vivre. Please consult a doctor before listening. Laughter is contagious. Buckle up, one. It's time to get this show on the road. Time for Dave's Corner Garage, your Saturday morning joyride on Zoomer Radio. Got a car question for Dave or Alan? Call now, 416-360-0740. Or toll free at 1-866-740-4740.
Okay, Kelton, give it a rip.
Yeehaw!
Boy, considering how cold it is out there, that yeehaw was good. Did you hurt yourself or you're fine?
I did a run-through, actually, just prior. I just wanted to make sure that the voice was there, you know.
I'm not running through anything. I went outside this morning just to start the car, and it was fine. But I left a bottle of water. I always keep a bottle of water in the car, and it was frozen. So that's great. And that's living condo.
I was going to say, I think you park inside.
Yeah, that's how cold it is. It's, you know, ever since we've been back on since the beginning of the new year, which feels like a year ago, it has been this cold every single Saturday. And this was like minus 21. Anyway, enough of the cold. Groundhog Day was right? So we got spring's almost on its way.
I can hardly wait. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. It's crazy. I mean, you know, obviously with gas prices and this cold weather, I mean, it's going through the roof. We're going to have Dan Mategon from Canadians for Affordable Energy. And some of the gas prices, I was just morning. You know what it is in Vancouver?
No, how much? Well, it's always more, eh?
Okay, so in general, in the GTA is around $1.59. That's a regular. Premium is $1.84.
It's such a ripoff. Seriously.
And diesel's $1.67. Now, in Vancouver, where they can have the sunshine, oh, it's raining again today, it's $1.76 for regular, $2.01 for premium. So that's about where we're heading. If you want to find out why these things are going on, Dan McTague is going to be on shortly, and we open up the lines for you if you want to give him a call or give us a call, and we'll give him a call. 416-360-0740 or 1-866-740-4740. Who else is on the show? Al Gelman?
We have, of course, the dynamic duo of Sumit Kapoor and Mark Silverman, the tag team wrestling guys from Young Steels Ford. I think Mark's a lot bigger. I have never actually met Sumit. Is he a big guy or, you know, like a dainty guy like Mark? Oh, are they?
Okay. Same size, except he doesn't have a ponytail. And he doesn't.
That's for sure a lot smarter, eh?
And he doesn't provide popcorn. Silverman does. So Young Steels Ford, they got some great news about the new cars and trucks that are now available. And parts are getting better. Going in to see people face-to-face is getting better. So beautiful. We'll tell you more about that. And Mark Saltzman will be joining us in the second half of the show, talking about some of the, besides just charging stations, but some of the new developments in the EV market, and especially, I shouldn't laugh, what happened to Tesla this week, right? You heard about, give them a little tease, Al, what happened with Tesla this week?
Are you talking about the screen getting shut down, or are you talking about them doing a rolling stop?
The rolling stop, yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. Apparently the government got ticked off, or NHTSA, and said, no, you have to stop at a stop sign. In fact, that just happened to me a couple weeks ago. And the policeman said to me, it doesn't say slow down, it says stop.
I know.
But I do have to thank that York Regional guy that said, maybe he recognized me for all my radio work. And he said,
Now you're sucking up.
He let me go with a warning. So,
right. Listen, we're going to get to some a lot of emails coming in over the last week. So Alan and I will get to those in just a second. And just a reminder that if you want to find out more about what's going on with these gas prices going through the roof, you can look at gaswizards.ca right now. And give us a call when Dan McTague is on in about 10 or 15 minutes, right? Grab a coffee, stay warm. It'll soon be spring. This is Dave's Corner Garage, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage, and if you have any questions that we'll be getting to right now, you can go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/ Dave's Corner Garage, and it's a cold one again, and batteries are dying left, right, and center, so you've got a question that you may want to get to right now, Al, from a listener.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, exactly. You know, well, battery life expectancy, it's sort of a yin and yang, you know. Batteries are now smaller than they ever were. But at the same time, the car loads are bigger than they ever were. I just recently got a phone call from a couple of customers. You know, they said my car didn't start. I boosted it, had a service guy come over, and one, the other one had his neighbor come over. And thankfully, they did it right. Please, 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 if you're listening to me and you own a set of booster cables, make sure you do it right. Otherwise, you're going to be doing big damage, okay?
Exactly. What's that smell? It's not your battery starting. That's what it is.
Yes, we call it magic smoke. You know, magic smoke, and it's terribly expensive.
Yeah.
All right. So anyways, I got boosted by my neighbor, and I drove the car around for about 15, 20 minutes, and then I parked it. And the next day, guess what? Did it start again, Steve? Correct. The answer is no. No. Why? Because if your battery is flat to begin with, and you go take it for a 10, 15-minute drive, that's not a long enough ride to bring it all the way back up. You're only going to return maybe 10% of that battery's life. If you've got a brand-new battery, you know, it may work. But otherwise, it's not really. Especially, as I mentioned earlier, your car has so many electrical items on it right now. You know, you have GPS. You have the tracking systems. You have all the all the electronic radar things for, you know, if you have active radar in your car. So all these things take a ton of electricity. So it doesn't leave a whole lot left from that your alternator supplying to recharge your battery. So again, if you have a battery problem, I mean, it in some cases, it's pretty clear. In other words, you know, I haven't used my car in 3 weeks and it's gone dead. Well, chances are if your neighbor can boost you and you can drive it around, the charging system is working as it should. In other words, your alternator is fine, your starter is fine. And if you go for a long enough drive, perhaps the battery will come back. But if it's only been a few days and your battery's dead, there's a good chance that either you left the door open or the trunk light on. Or in fact, you need a new battery. So get it checked out. Take it into your local service guy and have him check it out. He'll first recharge the battery, at least he ought to. And then he can test it and see if it's held a charge or not. If it hasn't held a charge, then he's going to suggest the new one. And also, by the way, the other thing as far as these batteries being smaller, the prices are larger. We've had a big increase in price. I don't know why. So make sure it's you buy a good one, and it'll last you a long time. Next so question, one, Stevie. Go ahead.
One of our listeners from Tim from, where is he from? Scarborough. All right. He writes in about batteries. Is it worthwhile getting a battery warmer wrapped around your battery? Does that help at all?
It does help because, in fact, when a battery is frozen, it's only got about 50% of its energy available to it. So it would help. The other thing you can do is you can get, what do you call those things? A solar cell. You can get a solar cell and actually plug it into the battery so that as long as your car is in the light which will unfortunately this only work during the day and it only works at night, but it can put a slow trickle charge back into your battery. So that's the other thing you can do.
So typically now, how long should a battery last you considering the climate we're in?
Believe it or not, they're saying, you know, between 2 or 3 years is all it's really going to last, which a lot of people get ticked off. And they said, I had a battery, it was 6 years old and it was still good. But that was way back when batteries were twice the size as they are now. So, you know, because manufacturers have had to downsize batteries because the government's been after them to reduce fuel costs, right? And how you do that is by making the car lighter. A lead acid battery weighs a whole lot. And if you can take away half the size of that, you're probably going to remove, you know, 20, 30 pounds from the weight of that battery. So
and some people gas mileage. And some people tend, I know Dave was talking about this before Christmas. Some people who are not using a car will disconnect the battery over the winter time.
Yes, those are a couple things you can do. Well, perfect. Great idea, because your car does have a parasitic draw. In other words, even when the car is off, there's always, you know, electricity that's being sucked out of the battery. It's to keep things alive, like your computer's memory and all the rest of those items. And so you can either disconnect it, but keeping in mind that there are reset procedures. In other words, when you put it back up, if you've got automatic windows or an automatic roof, you do have to either reset them or have someone do that for you. And the other thing you can do is actually get what they call as a trickle charger, and that'll keep your battery up as well.
A trickle charger.
May the parasitic one be with you. All right, we have the lines open for you, 416-360-0740 or 1-866-740-4740. Gas prices through the roof, actually through the sky, and they're everywhere. So we're going to have Dan McTague on next. He'll tell you why and how much worse it's going to get. If you want to talk to him, now's your chance, along with Al.
Who's I think it'll help my gas problem. I've had a gas problem for a week.
If you stop trickling, you may have that problem.
I don't know why I'm doing that.
We'll be right back.
And you can go to davescornergarage.com, and if you got any questions, you can just write them in, and we'll even get back to you before Groundhog Day comes back again. Okay, gas prices going through the roof. We're all going, well, we got to fill it up. So this man will fill you with some great information. Al, over to you, buddy.
Yes, we've got the president of Canadians for Affordable Energy on the phone with us, Dan. With great fanfare,
wow,
too. Dan, how are you?
I'm fine, Alan. Steve, good to hear from you.
Thank you, thank you. It's been so cold. You know, that's the worst part, eh? Is it's so insulting. You know, I drive by the gas station, the price is high, and it's so friggin' cold outside.
I
don't want to go out to put it in because it's too expensive, and it's too friggin' cold. What do I do?
Yeah, well, and watch diesel go through the roof, too, because it's now pushing well into the mid-160s. So,
in spite of all those trucks being parked, you mean?
Oh, yeah, they may be parked, but they're still using that good old number one non-gel diesel. So, but it's amazing. I've seen now a 20-cent increase in gas prices just since the beginning of the year. So for a lot of people, that it maybe seemed like a long time ago, but that was only 5 weeks ago. We were paying, you know, in the low 140s, high 130s here. Now tomorrow we're 159.9, almost a fraction under, $1.60 a liter. So if this keeps up, that's going to take another $500 out of everyone's pocket using 40, 45 liters a week. I kind of feel that that's probably going to be a tipping point, because it's not just gasoline, it's not just diesel, it's that it drives up the price of everything from food to commodities to, natural gas, electricity. It's all starting to add up, unfortunately.
And if you have like we had when we lived out west, we had oil furnaces.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when it was this, imagine, I was talking to a buddy of mine in Winnipeg yesterday, and he's got two oil furnaces. So when the truck pulls in, he goes to bed because he just doesn't want to see the bill.
No,
it's just insane. So where, like you said, it's 20 cents since the beginning of the new year almost. Where do you sense it being by, say, the middle of March?
Well, I mean, let's exclude two factors. What happens after the Olympics between Russia and Ukraine, and let's exclude another round of COVID.
It's not happening. No,
not happening. It better not. I got my 37th shot, so I should be okay. I sense that we're going to be up another 10 cents a liter on average. So we're going to see average prices. And you know what, Steve, Alan and I may have talked about this over a month ago. I made an a prediction way back that we'd be up 20% in prices in 2022. So that means the new normal in Toronto will be $1.65 a liter, and it isn't over yet, because of course there's a lot of other factors that could drive these prices up. But it does mean sooner or later people are going to have to clue into the fact that that this just can't hold. You can't go from $1.12 last year, which is what we were paying, to $1.60 in a matter of 12 months. No one has that kind of income that compensates for that. And let's face it, doesn't matter what you're driving, you still need to get from point A to point B.
Dan, aside from complaining about it, is there anything we can do?
Oh, my goodness. Well, a couple of things. One, just understand what's driving this. The Canadian dollar, it's not responding. Anybody who's traveling south of the border knows this. The Canadian dollar stays weak despite oil going through the roof. So we got a bit of a pipeline problem in Canada and production problem. I think we're going to have to start to put a little bit of water with our wine on these green policies. Maybe a moratorium on the carbon tax going up 2.5 cents a liter to about 13 cents come April 1st. And something that we may have spoken about 20 years ago when I was an enterprising little member of parliament, I brought in two energy rebates. I did that because, one, it helps people with their heating bill. But the second part is that the federal and provincial governments are raking in the dough here. If these prices remain as high as they are, and they're picking up 13% between the two levels of government, that's a couple billion bucks. It doesn't belong to them. It belongs to the hardworking people out there. So maybe our politicians could let off on the green climate accelerator and start dealing with something a little bit more important, affordability and the ability for Canadians to make
energy. Dad, quick question. You mentioned green. If we all are eventually switched to battery-powered cars, for the remaining few that have gas engines, what's going to happen to the price of gas? Is that going to reflect back on it?
Well, oil will remain high because it takes, you can't build an EV without without oil. Just ask the 80% of the world's batteries being built from China and cobalt being extracted from other parts of the world. Look, it's a fantasy to think that this is a replacement of internal combustion engines. Plus, governments have to subsidize the daylights out of them in order to make them competitive. People will buy them because they're fun to drive. God knows, I've been around the automotive industry myself, my old days, as PR with Toyota Canada when we introduced the Prius way back when. They're fun to drive.
Great car.
Great car.
Yeah.
They are in high.
Okay, Dan, listen, we're running out of time here, but we'll have you on again in maybe another month and check in. But for people who are listening right now, hey, check in sitting down. What's the website they can go to for your site to see what the gas prices are?
Steve, go to gaswizard.ca, and I'll give you the two-day heads up in terms of where prices are going. A hedge against them.
Gaswizards.ca. Great, buddy. Wizard. Stay warm. Yeah, thank you again for calling in, and we'll check in with another month and see where things are going.
Talk to you both.
With maybe a Bailey's and a coffee if the prices are going to go bad. We have got some good news on the horizon about cars, inventory, how you can actually go into a dealership now. We're going to be talking to Sumit Kapoor and Mark, I Have a Ponytail, Silverman, both from Young Steels Ford Lincoln, right after this, and we'll take your calls. Stay with us. Well, we are finally seeing the light of cars coming back into Canada, manufacturing getting better, production lines are getting better, and going to see a dealership is getting better. So listen, while we're talking to these two gentlemen, go to youngsteelsfordlincoln.com, and you'll see the inventory, and you'll see what these guys are talking about. So joining us, wrapped up in their beaver tails, Sumit Kapoor and Mark Silverman, both from Young Steels Ford. So we're going to go first to line 22. Sumit, how are you this morning?
I'm good, sir. How's everybody?
Oh, just ducky. We're great. Listen, you've got some great news, finally, good news in the car industry about what's happening, especially with Ford. So tell us about some of the new cars that are finally starting to come into fruition here.
So we had our first big meeting with Ford. We should be good to have enough amount of inventory, after such a long time, by the end of the first quarter. In the next 45 days, I can expect good amount of F-150s flowing in through Canadian border. SUVs like Explorers, Escapes, these will be coming back too.
Which is finally good news. So the one that I'm looking forward to is the, and you can tell us more about it, is the F-150 Lightning. What's going on with that one?
So now in that meeting, in the same meeting we discussed with Ford, Ford is putting F-150 Lightning into production this year. In the third quarter or so, and then the clients who made the first registrations on the Ford website, they should be able to see their Lightning by the end of this year.
Well, that's pretty good.
Yep.
Yeah. Have things changed much as far as the orders? Like when people are placing orders now, say I place an order for an F-150 or a Mustang, how long should I be looking to wait to get this car back?
Anywhere between 3 to 4 months, again, which is dependent on the fact if the company can get their hands on the shipment of semiconductor chips. See, we all know we've been struggling with the semiconductor chips. So far, yes, the company is still struggling, but the timelines are, getting better day by day.
A question, though, if people are willing to accept different options on a vehicle, or have they, has Ford decided to make cars with changing these things? So, for example, let's say I didn't care about Navi, and that was one of the issues as far as the chips. Is there vehicles like just plain Jane vehicles you can buy?
No, the issue is all these new generation F-150s. They all rely upon the chips because they have a good amount of electronics in them. Those 12-inch infotainment systems, the automatic sensors and parking and all that stuff, it relies on the chips. I mean, I'm sure Mark can fill my shoes and give you more information on this, but I'm sure all these new units, they're relying on the chips.
All right, so question is, all of the inventory that you expect, like you mentioned, F-150s are coming in, are all those accounted for, or... are these actually going to be in stock and available for people to walk in and buy?
They will be in stock vehicles. Some of it is, yes, of course, retail orders, but most of them, they're coming in as stock orders. So we have a lot of stock coming in by the end of Feb, or for sure somewhere in the middle March.
All right, people want to talk to you about coming in or checking your inventory. How do they reach you?
They can reach us at 905-889-7343 anytime.
All right.
Now we're going to move on. Yes,
we're going to have the one and only in charge of servicing. It's a big, big job. All kidding aside, Mark Silverman from Young Steels Ford. Morning, Mark.
Good morning, boys. How are you?
Good, thank you, Mark. You're a music fan, right?
I'm sorry.
You're a music fan, right?
Somewhat.
Okay. Remember, there was a song, and it was "It's All About the Bass."
Yes.
Okay, well, for you and me, we're the tech guys, we're the service people, it's all about the bays. You got to keep the bays busy. Do you have parts now? Do you have inventory?
Well, yeah, things are looking better. We're getting much better at our parts inventories are coming back together. But I want to mention something that, as Dan said, the prices of gas are going up. And the only way we can counteract that as consumers... Number one is when you get in your car and the engine light's on, but the car still runs and you just drive along, you feel, well, the car still starts, it still runs, and, the engine light's on, big deal. Well, that engine light being on could be a cause of excessive fuel consumption. So at the price
Absolutely.
Of fuel,
yeah.
You might want to get someone to look at it if you haven't already had someone look at it. You're right, the car will drive sometimes when the engine light's on, but... your fuel economy is definitely going in the wrong direction.
Exactly. And if you want that car to perform as best it can, there's a number of things you got to look at. Like you mentioned, the engine light. What about brakes? Brakes are kind of important too, eh?
Well, brakes are important. And certainly in this kind of weather, they're even more important that the functionality is as the manufacturer designed, so that they stop properly. The anti-lock braking system. We've got so much electronics in these cars now that they need to be maintained and kept in tip-top shape, or they won't function or give you the value that you should get out of the car.
Exactly. Like we talked about fuel mileage. I've had a bunch of cars in where the brakes were dragging, where they weren't releasing
because
they needed service that bad. You've seen that as well?
Yes. Same with transmissions, of transmission fluids. I mean, the better shape you keep the car, especially now, the better you're going to get the use and the fuel economy out of the vehicle. These vehicles are pretty sophisticated, and you need to keep on top of them. And like I say, especially with the prices of everything going up, you want to make sure that your car is running properly.
No, exactly, and it's going to save you money in the long run. I mean, when you were talking about a brake service, for example, you're only talking maybe an hour per axle. That's going to, first of all, make the brakes last that much longer and give you better gas mileage. What about filters? Are filters a whole lot of very expensive, and why do we need them?
That's another situation. Filters sometimes go missed. That's something very important. The engine has to breathe. Just like when you're running, it's tougher to breathe with a mask on than it is without a mask. Well, picture a car that's got a very, very dirty clogged oil filter is trying to breathe and it can't.
Mm-hmm.
And there's all kinds of filters. There's the air, for example, the air that we breathe in the car, that air comes in from just below the windshield in the and there's a pollen filter in there. Well, that pollen filter filters out some of the bacteria that's coming in the car when the windows are closed. They now have, and we now have, a COVID filter that will, it has been proven, it will, and certified, it will stop COVID bacteria from coming in the car when the windows are closed and the air that's in the car is always being filtered. So, all this stuff is very, very important to the operation of the car, the longevity of the car, and the economy of the car.
Well, you know, let's say you're on a budget, but at the same time, you're a handy person. Can a guy buy parts over the counter at your place and do the install himself?
Sure. I mean, why would you? With today's market and the way the cars are built, why would you want to get involved in something like that? Alan, you remember the old days we used to hook up a wire here and a wire there and everything went working. Yeah, you stole a radio, it took you 5 minutes to put it in, but now it's not quite like that. It's you need an expert, and you know there are plenty of experts aside from the OEM, the dealers. There are plenty of experts out there, Alan, as you know, your shop, that can handle all of this. So my advice.
Yeah, but I don't know, bugger, all about electric cars, Mark. So if I've got a Mach-E that I've bought from your service department, your sales department, I'm going to need you. So 7120 Yonge Street, Thornhill. Check out Sumit Kapoor. He's got some great vehicles coming in. And if you need service, speak to Mark.
Absolutely. And keep the car running the best you can. That's the only advice I can give you.
YoungSteelsFordLincoln.com. Check it out. We'll be right back after the break. We're going to be talking to Mr. Mark Saltzman, the game guy. We'll be right back.
One on the weekend, and we've been talking in the last, I guess, couple of weeks about the evolution of EVs and what's going on, charging stations, and we thought, you know what? We really don't know that much about it. Sorry, Al, we really don't. Leave it alone. But we thought we'd get a hold of the one and only Mark Saltzman to join us this morning, talking about that kind of biz. So how are you this morning, Mark?
Hey, good morning, gents. Great to be back on the program. I'm well, thanks.
Well, I'm always proud when you're on it, because I think you got the Costco Employee of the Month, eh?
I might have, after writing for Costco Connection for 19 years.
Well, every time I walk in there, every one of those big screens has your face. And I'm going,
oh, yeah, that too. Sorry about that. Yeah,
I said,
oh,
he must have won Employee of the Month. All right. We're going to talk about electronics, good, bad, or otherwise.
Yeah. So as you hinted at, EVs, it's starting to become a real story. You know, there's been, you know, rumblings for years about it, but it's well, I think we're on the brink of an electrified sort of revolution. And, you know, unfortunately, some of those tax incentives are gone on a provincial level. But, you know, the prices are dropping, the range is increasing, and the infrastructure is maturing, right? So there's more and more places to charge up. So I wrote a piece for the Wheels section of the Toronto Star about where to charge up, because 80% of people charge up at home, 10% charge up at work if you're lucky enough to have, you know, a spot to juice up your vehicle while you're working, good use of your time. And then the other 10% use public stations, right? Especially if you're on a road trip, that's a given. So I wrote a piece about where to charge up, and there's a lot of apps that can help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know if you have a Tesla, it tells you, right?
Mm-hmm.
But these other vehicles, not necessarily.
Yeah, that's right. So good point. Some vehicles like Tesla will have right built into the dash places for you to charge up. It'll highlight where all the charging stations are. And many of them support DC quick chargers or level three that can charge up your vehicle about 30 minutes. It's getting better. As I mentioned, they're not only are we seeing better range with various vehicles over 600 kilometers, but we're going to start seeing 1,000 kilometer EVs soon. Wow. Mercedes unveiled one. Yeah, in January at the Consumer Electronics Show, the Vision EQ XX. But yeah, we are starting to see more charging stations. So if you don't have it built into your vehicle, and even Tesla users also use these apps. Some of the more popular ones are PlugShare, mm-hmm. which is free to use for both iPhone and Android. That will highlight where you can juice up. There's one called ABRP, or a Better Route Planner, And that's great for road trips, especially because you can plan a trip, say, from Vancouver to Miami or Toronto to LA, and it'll show you where you should stop by guessing where you're going to need to top up on that route. And then there's another one called Charge Hub, which is also pretty popular, also for iPhone and Android. It's also free, and it's an app as well. But there's over 6,000 public charging stations now in Canada. I don't know if you know that. It's still mostly in urban areas, the structure in rural, you know, country roads and stuff. We're starting to get there. So,
but I think one of the downsides, Mark, is that not all vehicles use the same plug, though.
Yeah, so Tesla said they were going to open up their charging stations to everyone. They haven't done it just yet, but mostly everybody else has a bit of a standard. And if not, there's adapters and such. So that shouldn't be an issue about compatibility. It is getting better. And again, most people charge up at home, but should you venture out on a road trip, and now that things are opening up in the country and on the continent, thankfully, you may be more inclined to take your EV more than just, you know, for grocery shopping and dropping off the kids to school. Yeah. So it's getting easier and easier. And again, coupled with longer range, that's a welcome trend. We're also starting to see some pretty innovative things, like with the Fisker New Ocean coming out later this year in the States. They have like a solar roof that can also keep you topped up, that they say it can give you up to 2,000 miles per year extra by having a solar powered roof. So, yeah, we're getting there.
Mark, we had somebody write in this morning asking about what's some of the latest technology as to what the automakers are putting into their vehicles to combat, you know, distracted driving.
Yeah, great question. So ironically, just like alcohol is the problem and solution to the world's problems, technology is responsible for distracted driving. But thankfully, car makers are also putting in tech to combat distracted driving, if that makes sense. Yeah, because it is the number one cause of accidents, says the OPP. There was a CAA study from, I think, about a year and a half ago that found that about half of Canadians admit to typing out a message while driving, or at least using voice to text and then checking to make sure it's accurate before sending it while driving. So there are a few things that, and speaking of Tesla, they got their hand slapped by the NHTSA, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, for their games that you can play on their touchscreen called Passenger Play. They're going to have a software update that will disable that. But there's a few things that car makers are doing to curb distracted driving. One is to embrace more voice support. So while that is still arguably distracting, at the very least, your hands are on the wheel and your eyes are on the road. So whether it's a proprietary voice infotainment system, or they adopt Apple CarPlay or Android Auto. So that's one thing that car companies are doing, is that they want to keep your eyes forward. And speaking of which, we're seeing more heads-up displays, right, HUDs, that will project some information onto the dashboard itself, onto the windscreen itself, windshield, rather than you having to turn your head to look at a infotainment system. There's things like vibrating lane nudging. So if you are distracted and you are not realizing that you're veering off into the other lane, it will not only vibrate, and sometimes on the left side if you're veering to the left, and to the right side if you're veering to the right, but it'll also nudge you back into your lane. And things like a camera that's on you if you're trying to use any of these semi-autonomous technologies like GM Super Cruise. You know, you don't have to have your hands on the wheel for Super Cruise on the one of many, I think it's over 320,000 kilometers of highways in Canada and the US that support it. But if you decide to play a game on your Nintendo Switch or open up a paperback to continue where you last left off, there's a camera that's on you, and it will it'll have an audible and a visual warning. It's a green flash on your steering wheel, and then that turns to a red flash. That means grab the wheel, buddy, because you're not paying attention and you have to. So there's a lot of things that car makers thankfully are adding.
My wife's Infiniti, as soon as you start moving up at all, the screen goes stupid. It says, no, you can't touch the screen or make, you know, navigational changes unless you're stopped, which shouldn't be difficult to program into a telephone. I mean, they've all got Navi in the phones, and I think that would help a lot. As soon as your phone knows that you're moving, it basically should just freeze and say, no, not till we stop again.
That's a liability thing, I think, too, because let's say you get an emergency call and you can't answer it because it's disabled, and someone dies because you couldn't, you know, act on it. Does that put Apple or Samsung in? Does that make them responsible? I mean, it's a slippery slope, I think. I think education coupled with automotive-based technology should help, I think. And then the more autonomous these vehicles get will help even further, I think. You know, and I think it's a matter of when, not if, that the car is going to drive you or drive itself for, if not all of it, a lot of it. Hey, gentlemen, if you're okay with it, I just want to take a moment before I forget, before we run out of time, to acknowledge someone special who was a regular listener to Dave's Corner Garage. But sadly, he passed away at age 81 on October 25th. Can I just say one little quick thing about him?
Sure, go ahead.
Absolutely.
He's awesome. Yeah, so Al Shaw and his lovely wife, Lorraine, would excitedly call me after I was on your show. And Al is the father of three awesome women, one of whom, Jackie, is one of my wife's oldest and dearest friends. So just a bit about Al. Again, a very big fan of your show. He was a huge NFL fan as well. He was a Maple Leafs lover. And for three decades, he organized luncheons for alumni of the original six teams. He started this old timers lunch club, basically. So this is just a shout out to the late and great Al Shaw and his wife, Lorraine, who's probably listening right now. Thank you guys for letting me say that. He was a big fan of your show.
Nicely done. Nicely done. And if people want to find out more information about what's going on in the EV industry and tech overall with cars, what's your website, Mark?
Sure. So it's marksaltzman.com, Mark with a C, S-A-L-T-Z-M-A-N. Thank you so much for having me on, guys. Okay, I appreciate it.
As Al would say, Zygazint. All right. Stay warm. We've got some more questions and answers to get to right after this. This is Dave's Corner Garage, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. And for the people who've been writing in so far, just a couple websites that they kind of missed at the beginning of the show to save moolah. Especially on gas, is gaswizards.ca, all right? Because gas is, you know, it ain't going down, unfortunately. And if you're looking to get a new F-150 or looking into maybe getting a used one and getting your car serviced, it's youngsteelsfordlincoln.com. Two great people we've had on for many, many years as we're into our 21st year. So because of that, we're getting a lot of questions coming in on Facebook. So, Al, this one is talking about... I've been reading that cars are being stolen in record numbers. What's that all about?
Exactly. I don't know if you saw it, but on CTV, they had on their website, they had a story about an $11 million car ring being busted, which is great, but there's probably another 100 million guys out there boosting cars. And in fact, even a friend of ours, Mike Arbeau from Precise Transmission, his vehicle was stolen. He had bought his wife a brand new RX 350, and they only had it a couple of days, and it was gone. So that's a horrible thing. So a couple of things you can do. Ideally, what we tell people is out of sight, out of mind. In other words, clean up your garage, park it inside. If they don't see that it's there, they can't steal it, right? So that's one thing you can do. You can also, if you're stuck and you've got one in the garage and one left outside, you could go down to the tire store and pick up a club. I think they still make them. You know, that club, that big hook thing that you put on the steering wheel?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because it makes it more difficult for someone to steal. And if they see it there, they're just going to go down the street and find another car. So they can do that. But another thing you can do, I spoke to a guy up down the street from us. He's called carsysteminstallation.com. He's on Magnetic Drive in North York. This is an electronics company. These guys do, you know, Navi, and they do all kinds of high-end radios. But they install kill switches. So these are things that you can't even see it. So in other words, they incorporate the pattern that you have to push button using the push buttons in the car. So it won't have a big, ugly push button on the dash. But what you'll do, for example, is maybe hit the brake pedal, hit the cruise control. And you get, once you learn it, it's no big deal. It's not cheap, but it's cheaper than your deductible probably. You're looking somewhere around $700 to put the system in a Lexus or a Toyota that has push button ignition. But it's going to save us all in the long run, because less cars stolen, the less likely our insurance rates will go up. Steve?
So for a kill switch, is it typically, and don't throw me underneath the bus for this one, because you have a habit of doing that.
Yeah.
Is a kill switch just for certain makes of models? Like if it's a car that's under 2016, if it's earlier than that, will that kill switch still work, or is it just for newer cars?
No, actually, there's different styles they can do. Many, many years ago, they used kill switches, but it was actually a little toggle switch, and they would hide it somewhere, sometimes under the driver's seat or under the dashboard. It's not expensive. They will do these as well. In fact, if you've got an older car that can't handle the electronic one, they will put an analog or, you know, like a mechanical switch in there. But those can be found in a lot of cases by the car thieves. But now that I'm thinking about it, if you've got a 20-year-old car, who's going to want to steal it anyways?
Oh, wait a minute. I get my car. It's not 20, but it's about 14. And yeah. It gets crowned every year and a half. And it's in pretty good shape. I mean, my wife has not driven that car more than, I would say, 5,000 kilometers in the last 2 years. So it's like, it's still worth it. Because even in a condo where we are, if people get downstairs, if a car is followed downstairs into the garage and the door opens up, somebody can still get in behind you, and you just never know. That's paranoia. Okay, one last one was about, and I see people with their wipers up all the time. So if you leave your wipers on, the switch on, car gets turned off, how much damage, if anything, can be done to it?
Oh, about $500. I had one in on Friday.
Really?
Yes. I wondered how it happened, and then when the lady came in, she had a noticeable accent, which I'm guessing was a warm country where she didn't have to think about this kind of thing.
Well, that was very politically correct the way you said that.
Well, I had to keep it clean, you know.
Okay. She's from Miami or what?
No. Actually, Middle Eastern country.
Okay.
And where they don't have a lot of snow, right? Lucky them. And so she never had to experience something like that. So I explained it to her. In fact, she looked at me and said, "Thank you very much," because I had no idea. So in other words, if your wipers are on and you shut your car off, the wipers don't necessarily go down to the park position, and they could be halfway up the windshield. Your car gets covered in snow and ice, and those wipers are stuck to the glass. And unfortunately, the wiper motor, when you go to turn the car on, it's already in the on position, so that wiper motor is strong enough to break the linkage, or what they call the wiper transmission, and you're looking at a $500 price tag. There you go.
Ooh, really?
Yes.
$500. Unbelievable. I see people putting the covering on their windshields, right, too, those aluminum ones to protect
it. Oh, absolutely. If you're proactive, you know, by all means, take care of it. Don't just ignore it because it'll cost you after. All right, we got to run, Stevie. Thank our guests.
Well, okay, Al, I'll thank our guests. Dan McTague from Canadian Affordable Energy. That's gaswizards.ca. If you really want to take a look at it, have a glass of scotch next to you before you take a look, because it's going up. Also, youngsteelsfordlincoln.com. If you got any questions about the new Fords that are finally coming in, give them a call at Sumit Kapoor and Mark Silverman. And, of course, Mark Saltzman for his valued input, as always, about what's going on in the electronic business. And maybe our government will start giving back the refund for EVs, the incentive. That'd be kind of nice. Al, yeah, you have a good weekend.
That's the way I'm thinking. I'm just going to buy an electric car, to hell with gas.
Sure. Well, listen, clean up the house because your wife's coming home tomorrow.
Thanks for the reminder. Off to the grocery store right now.
All right. Have a good weekend, everybody.
With Dave Reniger from Dave's Corner Garage.
Today we're talking with Trevor Hutchison from Crown Body Maintenance.
A big part of being a corporate partner that deals with consumers is being corporately responsible to the environment. And so we believe that although we're in the automotive protection business, you also want to do it in the right way, in the right manner. And for Crown, that starts with our proprietary rust inhibitors, lubricants, penetrants, and all of the products that we manufacture have that in mind. We use a hydrocarbon petroleum base stock that is environmentally safe, and a chemical inhibiting package that is designed to be safe to be used in cities, municipalities, and a variety of different environments so that it's responsible towards the areas that we're applying it in.
And how do we get more information about Crown?
Go to our website, crownwithak.com.
You've been listening to Just a Minute. To hear more, go to our website, davescornergarage.com.
This has been an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.